This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in here on a Monday morning, and we're trying to keep up with what's going on around the world. President Trump is telling people on a tarmac he might eliminate all taxes. This morning, just so you know.
Okay.
These tariffs are going to probably offset that. And
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, he did say that for people, he's going to float the plan that for people below $200,000 a year in income, which would probably, I think you're in the top 5% of all earners in the country if you would make that amount of money. I believe if you make $100,000, you're in the top 10% of all wage earners in the country.
I was looking this up. I think it's actually a little bit high. I don't think if 100,000, I don't think you're in the top 10. I was surprised.
Well, regardless.
You're still a top earner.
If you eliminate all taxes on people below 200 grand a year, that would be like pouring gasoline on the little fireplace in your backyard. The economy would just explode. People would suddenly be able to keep all of their tax money and to spend and decide how to spend it for themselves. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I agree with that. But these are some of the things where I wish Trump would just shut his mouth, because I don't see this happening. And it doesn't mean that Trump can't say he wants this to happen, but I guess I just feel like he loves to poke the bear, and let's just try to eliminate some of these taxes instead of just saying a comment like that.
Let's see what happens. I think he's setting it up for people, for all these Democrats to be critical of this, and then when the deficit starts to fall and all of this money starts coming into the country, as he's predicted, they're going to find themselves in a bind, because their taxpayers, their constituents, are going to look at them and say, well, wait a minute, you got all this money now, why don't you cut taxes? Mm-hmm. And the Democrats, that's cancer to Democrats. Cutting taxes is something they can never do, in their opinion. That is an expense to the government if they cut taxes. So, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen immediately, but as things roll along here, you could see something like that in the next, maybe next year's reconciliation bill. I don't know.
I won't hold my breath. It might be in a bill, but I don't see it ever happening.
And we'll see. We'll see. That's what they're talking about. Listen, we are going to be covering, obviously we're covering the president's 100 days in office and everything that he's accomplished up until this point. You can see where the attacks are coming from the left on a lot of his different policies. Annie Fry is up in Washington today, and she's going to be covering part of this for us, I believe, from the White House. And we're maybe taking part in that press briefing that's scheduled this morning with Tom Homan. And we're hoping to hear from Annie at some point during the show today. Things are kind of fluid up there right now in terms of getting inside the White House grounds and all that stuff. So we'll hear from Annie here at some point. By the way, Wednesday evening, we're going to be carrying a Donald Trump town hall. President Trump has agreed to a town hall with News Nation. If you remember News Nation, I believe Dan Abrams was one of the ones that started that, a former network reporter. Chris Cuomo, who left CNN, is over there now, and they're going to be taking part in asking President Trump some questions about his first 100 days in office, and we are going to be carrying that live on Wednesday night here on the radio station. If you are out and about and you want to listen to it, you can, of course, tune in here, and we'll have the latest on that for you. Coming up a little later here, we're gonna talk to Hans von Spakovsky about this judge situation, the one in Wisconsin specifically, where the judge, everybody seems to be in agreement on what she did wrong. I mean, when I'm hearing from folks like Andrew McCabe, the disgraced former assistant director of the FBI who hates Donald Trump and everything about him, and tried to prosecute Trump for fake Russian collusion charges, when I hear him admitting, well, the action they took was correct, the ICE agents had every right to be there, the judge had no right to stop them, we're just upset with how she was handled. The left has to admit this. They're once again they're kind of clipping their flag to as somebody who's not a good candidate for empathy here, a judge who very clearly showed her bias in this situation by helping a criminal defendant escape justice. And the charges are serious, and we're going to kick that around with Hans coming up here in just a few minutes. But first, Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Judge Dugan is doing what all of us will be called to do in the days and weeks and months to come, and it's standing up for people in our community that are being targeted by the Trump regime.
you know exactly what they're trying to get away with here, and that is they're trying to defend now this judge, and they're trying to defend her by saying everybody needs to stand up and do what she's doing. I'd say there are a lot of empty jail cells out there. Go for it.
We got the most secure border in the history of this nation, thanks to President Trump's out-of-the-box thinking. He's a game changer. I said him day one. He proves to me every day why he's the greatest president in my lifetime.
There you go. Tom Holman there, and I think he's going to be at the White House during a press briefing even this morning on more arrests of illegal aliens.
We're fighting with Russians, with your enemy, not with your friends, but with your enemies. And we want to have this understanding in the United States and the recognition of the fact that we are partners.
I wonder why Zelensky is still trying to sell it to the American people. It's interesting. He's negotiating publicly, trying to influence American public opinion, because he probably doesn't like what President Trump had to say when he sat down with him just before the Pope's funeral in Rome this weekend.
From the White House to the town of White House, Texas, it's a real place, Peoria to the Persian Gulf, we at AP remain committed as ever to accurate, independent, nonpartisan journalism.
Yeah. Almost sounds like they're trying to convince themselves, doesn't it? This weekend, Kim, they had the White House Correspondents Award Ceremony, mm-hmm. where they stood up and patted each other on the back for all of the great work they did this year. And they actually gave a guy an award for his it was almost funny to hear Kristen Welker say it. And I'm going to play the bite for you coming up a little later in the show. It was always funny to hear Kristen Welker say it. But they gave this guy an award for his groundbreaking reporting efforts on Joe Biden's deteriorating mental condition leading up to the disastrous debate with Donald Trump. Now, he didn't report on it until after the fact.
Of course.
Because we've been saying since 2020 that Joe Biden was a sinking ship, that he was declining mentally, that it was obvious to everybody except the White House press corps and the network news in this country, who refused to accept the fact that the guy was a zombie, that somebody else was running the auto pen, making foreign policy decisions, making environmental decisions. He turned it all over to a group of 20-somethings that the left seems to hate when Elon Musk does that. And these progressives were running the Biden administration. Biden had no business being president of the United States. And the media was complicit in the cover-up. And today they're patting you. They're breaking their arms to pat each other on the back, to pat themselves on the back. I'm surprised Jake Tapper didn't win for his groundbreaking story that he's now admitting, well, there was clearly a problem. Where the hell were you?
Well, it looks like another reporter did call out the media for the coverage of Joe Biden's declining health. But do we know why Trump, by the way, skipped that correspondence dinner, just didn't want to be in the room with
people
who were
going to...
Well,
he was in Rome for the Pope's funeral. I would imagine that had something to do with it.
I guess, yeah. I mean, that would have been Saturday.
I don't know.
This would have been, this dinner was Saturday night, right?
Is this the normal White House correspondence dinner, or is this some award ceremony? I don't know if these are the two or the same events.
I thought it was the White House correspondence dinner.
I could be wrong.
Maybe there's multiple.
I think they may have
had
an award ceremony of some sort where they're patting each other on the back. But we'll see. The president was in Rome over the weekend, so there's no way he could have attended something like that. He was in Rome wearing a blue suit, which has also driven all the left crazy.
Can people just stop with that?
Like, I don't know.
A blue suit is completely acceptable to wear to a
funeral. Dark colors.
Like, my sister wore a brightly colored dress to my mom's funeral, her own mom's funeral. It is okay. We're celebrating her life. We're not. It's ridiculous the way people fixate on everything Melania wears. Not in this case, because she wore black.
Right.
But everything Trump wears. Like, why do you care so much?
Jill Biden dressed Joe in a blue suit. There's a picture of it.
Did you see that awkward video of him grabbing the guy's arm? And he looked lost.
Pathetic. All right, quick break here. We'll get to Hans von Spakovsky from Heritage when we come back.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk.
You know, it's not an unreasonable complaint. There's plenty of evidence in the complaint to get you beyond the probable cause phase, which is where we are right now. And I think when you start looking at how the judge was treated after the events that led to the charge, so typically upstanding members of the community who have no criminal history and aren't accused of a violent act are allowed to self-surrender at the time of their arraignment. The fact that they did not offer that courtesy to her and in
Hans von Spakovsky, you know, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
All right, we've got Hans on the phone this morning from the Heritage Foundation, of course, senior legal fellow. Hans, great to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That voice you listened to was Andy McCabe, famously of the former FBI assistant director who, of course, tried to prosecute Donald Trump in any way possible. He admitted that this judge in Wisconsin, that they had every right to go after her for what she did, that what she did was wrong. He just didn't agree with them arresting her and walking her out in handcuffs. What's your take on all this?
Well, I actually disagree with him. The reason being that she, not only did she openly defy federal agents, but she did everything in her power to help an illegal alien escape.
Yes.
From those federal agents. It's one thing to just say, well, I'm not going to assist you. It's quite another to take an active role in trying to help someone escape justice. And you can look at the history of the Justice Department, and they don't allow people who take an active role in allowing a criminal to escape to just turn themselves in.
So I remember specifically watching the live coverage when CNN was invited to the early morning raid at Roger Stone's house,
right,
where they had his wife standing outside in a robe holding her dog while they searched the man's house at 6 a.m. And I'm having to listen to people like Andy McCabe tell me that this was a departure from policy because there was no threat to public safety and she was not afforded the chance to come in and offer her side of the story. Was Roger Stone offered that?
No, he wasn't. And another example of that is, remember Mark Houck? Mark
Yes.
Houck was the guy who was silently praying outside an abortion clinic in Philadelphia. No criminal history of any kind, no criminal threats ever of any kind. He had a lawyer. His lawyer called the Biden Justice Department and said, look, if you're going to indict my guy, he'll be happy to show up at the courthouse. And instead, they sent, what, more than a dozen armed FBI agents to do the same thing. Wake him up at the crack of dawn, scare his children. And I don't recall, do you recall Andy McCabe out protesting about that? Remember, this guy was later found innocent of the federal charges brought against him by, of all places, a Philadelphia jury.
Yeah.
Hey, Hans, where's the line? Like, because you've had not only these federal judges trying to interfere with these ICE efforts, but you've also had mayors. I mean, a bunch of different people are sitting here trying to say they're going to make it very difficult for the feds to come in and actually deport these illegals. Where is the line on what these officials can do versus when they could be cuffed and arrested?
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier, which is they don't have to provide assistance to the federal government, but they cannot engage in any kind of obstruction of federal officials. They can't hide, harbor an illegal alien. And anyone who thinks that, well, because I'm a local government official, I can't be criminally prosecuted, we settled the question of whether federal law prevails over state law back in 1864. maybe they've forgotten that. But look, and this isn't the first time they've happened. Everybody's pointing to Hannah Dugan in Wisconsin. But folks have forgotten. During the first Trump administration, a state court judge in Massachusetts did exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. ICE agents showed up in her courtroom to pick up an illegal alien. She ordered them out of her courtroom and got her bailiff to escort the illegal alien out a back door of the courthouse so he could escape. She was criminally prosecuted by the feds, and this is a repeat of that incident.
Yeah, thank you for that little history lesson there. People tend to forget that, and I love your insight on it, Hans. Thank you for your time this morning, my friend.
Thanks, as always, to you.
Absolutely. Hans von Spakovsky there from Heritage talking about the situation with Judge Dugan. All right, quick break. We're going to be back in just a minute.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the philosophy.
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me. And
do you, how old is Bill Belichick? How old is he? He's got to be 70s easy.
Yeah.
And she's 24.
I don't know. They're 73.
There would probably be a fair number of 70-year-old men who would think dating a 24-year-old would be in their best interest. But I don't know. I don't know why Bill Belichick agreed to this interview with CBS. I watched it. It was uncomfortable. Like, I mean, the girl could be his great-granddaughter. I don't get this at all.
I don't either.
And the media treats it like it's completely normal.
Well, here's what I'll say. I find this weird. Now, Caroline Levitt, Just to play the other side here, Caroline Levitt and her husband are like 30 plus years apart. I find that odd too.
Okay.
She's not taken much heat for it.
I love
Caroline Levitt.
But I agree.
But some of these relationships, you know, I get sometimes you just fall in love. Now, the Bill Belichick thing is weird because the guy's loaded, so it's hard to believe that there's not something else at play besides, oh, wow, you're just really handsome.
Just an ick factor there. I don't know what it is. I just don't know why
he
agreed.
Definitely an ick factor.
I don't know why he agreed to do the interview. I will never understand that one at all. All right, let's get to Nicole Murray, please. Nicole, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Did you see that interview on CBS by chance?
I didn't see it. I heard whispers about it.
He's in a t-shirt. Like, he's in a gray t-shirt that's got a hole in it right below the neck. Like, there's a hole in the t-shirt. And, you know, people wear jeans with holes in it. And I think, obviously, that's supposed to be a fashion trend. Is that some new fashion trend I've missed, that you wear t-shirts with holes in them?
Not that I'm a fashionista myself, but no, that is not in.
I'm just checking, because nobody would ever accuse me of being a fashion plate. So I always have to ask those questions.
No, I think you're a fashion icon, Mark.
I've got some t-shirts with holes in them. I could start wearing them if I needed to.
Oh my gosh, don't.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
But where are the holes? They weren't. Where were the holes on his shirt?
It was right below the collar of his shirt.
Right. You
like
said
right
that. Okay.
It was right here. It was really distracting during the interview.
And you said the age difference between him and his lover was how much?
Well, it's got to be close to 50 years, because he's got to be.
Wow.
How old is Bill Belichick?
So he's 73. Okay. She's 24.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's close.
Man.
60 some. What,
oh,
40, 48, 49 years?
49 years, woo! If my math is correct.
I can do an age difference, but that's on a new level.
I know.
What age difference is acceptable to you, Nicole?
I've gone as high as 15 years in between.
Okay. All right.
So, like, when I was, like, in mid-20s, he was, like, upper 30s, 40
okay.
kind of thing.
All right.
But my mom even said she's always seen me with someone somewhat older. But, yeah, 50 years is a little much.
But if you brought Bill Belichick home, mom would slap you or
well,
what?
Well, mom's probably younger than her
yeah,
boyfriend.
Probably. Thank you.
Yes.
That
very
would be
much
so.
So
Grandpa,
strange.
I remember. We went to school together. Yeah, we shared, you know, snacks in the lunchroom. I gave you my Debbie's. Whatever it's called, Debbie snack. What are
little
those things
Debbie,
called?
Little
Debbie snacks.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think my mom would go along with it. It's my dad that I don't know what his reaction
no
would be.
Kidding.
That'd be a hard sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I might be shooting somebody if that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, just saying. Yeah. What's going on in the business world today?
All right. So futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 20, the NASDAQ up 216, the S&P 500 up 40. Spire has announced Scott Doyle as its new president and CEO after terminating his predecessor, marking another recent change atop the St. Louis-based gas utility. Doyle, who will also serve on the company's board of directors, becomes Spire's third leader in 19 months. Airbus announced it has finalized a deal to take on a batch of assets from struggling U.S. supplier Spirit AeroSystems, largely related to European production of its own commercial aircraft. The France-based plane maker last year agreed to take on parts of Spirit's operations, while the wider company is being reintegrated into former parent company Boeing in a $4.7 billion stock deal. Chinese manufacturers are pausing production and turning to new markets as the impact of U.S. tariffs set in. That's according to companies and analysts. The lost orders are also hitting jobs and forcing Chinese exporters to try live streaming at home. Some companies have already built businesses on other trade routes from China. DHL Express will resume global business-to-consumer shipments worth over $800 to individuals in the United States after a constructive dialogue with U.S. authorities. DHL blamed the halt it implemented on April 21st on new U.S. customs rules, which require formal entry processing on all shipments worth over $800. The minimum was $2,500 until a change on April 5th. Horror movies are often one-week wonders at the box office, but Ryan Coogler's Sinners is defying the odds. In its second weekend in theaters, Sinners earned $45 million in ticket sales, earning the top spot at the weekend box office. Sinners has now made more than $161 million worldwide. And finally, LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman predicts that by 2034, the traditional 9-to-5 job will be extinct. He said that as AI and automation evolves, it could reshape how we work, making the old office grind obsolete.
Let me guess. Reid Hoffman wants us to work 3 days a week.
I mean, he didn't say anything about that, but I would totally be down for that. If you can get the work done in 3 days, why not?
If? How? How could anybody do that and get the same level of efficiency?
You really think people are working nonstop for the 40 hours that they're in office?
No.
Here's
scrolling.
The thing, because I agree, you could probably get it done in less time. However, people no doubt would goof off in those 3 days because you'd have long days, so you'd need to take breaks. You know what I mean?
I'm not buying it.
I think you should buy it. I think you should. I feel like if we have fewer days, then you'll have more energy for those fewer days where, yeah, you may need breaks, but you won't need to goof off as much because you'll have bigger breaks in between.
And then people are going to want at least the same amount of money, even though they're working less. And then eventually they'll feel like they need a raise. And I'm going to look at them and say, but you work 3 days a week. Why would I give you a raise?
But you're still working. You still need to have increases based on the cost of living.
Based
on inflation. I'm just saying. I could argue this until I'm blue in the face.
I get it. Well, good luck with that. I'll wish you the best of luck with that, Nicole.
Yeah, I'll keep going even after you turn my mic off. So thank you guys so much.
Yeah, we'll talk to you. Thank you. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Appreciate it. I don't know. Reid Hoffman is obviously a smart guy, but and he founded LinkedIn. But I just maybe in some jobs, but I'm not sure.
Well,
that's going to be the norm.
The challenge is he's saying the typical 9-to-5 won't be a thing anymore. Well, some people like that because it allows them. I guess it depends on the job you have, but to shut things off when you leave. The problem with not having that time frame or a traditional time frame, it wouldn't have to specifically be 9-to-5, but is that you're kind of reachable at all hours of the day. And that's what some people say is the problem with being so connected is that you can get emails and phone calls and text messages, and it might be later, early morning when you're technically off the clock, but
right.
Because we're connected these days, we're expected to respond. I kind of have mixed feelings about that.
I don't know. My feelings aren't too mixed, but I think we got to be really careful the path we're going down here for the country, to be honest with you, when you're trying to do that. It may work in some situations, but it's certainly not going to work, I don't think, in the majority of them. All right, coming up, we are hoping to check in with Annie Frye, who is up in D.C. today, I believe in tomorrow, and is going to get to attend the White House press briefing this morning with Tom Homan. I got to do that a few years ago when we were up there for the Radio Row with the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Got a White House press pass, got to go over and check out the Brady press briefing room where they're going to have this news conference coming up here. I believe the open press briefing at around 7:30 our time this morning. Annie's already there, I believe, in on the grounds of the White House, and we're hoping to check in with her when we come back right after this break. Stay tuned.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
Well, tomorrow is going to mark the 100th day in office for Donald Trump. We've been covering his accomplishments up until now, but it's pretty cool. If you've never been to the White House press briefing room, let me tell you that. That's where Annie Frye is this morning, and she's joining us. Annie, how are you?
Good morning. I am excited to be here and maybe a little anxious to go in and take part in something. You know, how many times have you and I sat and looked at the inside of the press briefing room up to our left in the studio to see what's going on? And I'm about to take part in that here in about 40 minutes from now.
It's pretty cool. The place is a lot smaller than you think, isn't it?
It's tiny.
Yeah.
they said it. They're like, it's going to be smaller than you think it is. And I'm like, okay, I see it all the time. I think I probably have it. Oh, no, smaller.
Yeah.
Definitely smaller.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So they have a briefing coming up, with Tom Homan here in about 45 minutes?
Yep, they're going to, I think, my understanding is, I don't know, they'll probably play it out and see how it works and see if they want to keep doing it, but in honor of the 100 days week, they are trying to move the press briefings that usually happen around my show, maybe a little bit before my show would come on at noon, but they're trying to get them on morning shows like yours and make sure that they got to get out there in drive time, of course, and they're going to highlight some of the accomplishments that have been made, and I think there are a lot of things that they're going to be able to talk about.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So what was that process like for you this morning, Annie, having to go through security and all that here at the White House?
Well, you know, you fill out some forms ahead of time, not really super complicated, but
it's
you know, easy enough. You turn over your information, they clear you. And if I knew more of where I was going ahead of time, like the layout, I've been to D.C. a couple times in the last year, but once I found my way, everybody's been super pleasant and kind, and it was very simple. Just kind of needed to get here early and work my way through it and figure it out for myself.
Any question you're hoping to ask today, Annie, if you happen to get called on?
Well, you know, when I was told that I might have the opportunity to ask a question last week, they told me that they were probably going to have these kind of feature days where each day that they do a press briefing was going to key in on a specific highlight of the Trump administration. So since Tom Homan is going to be here, my intention is to ask about Governor J.B. Pritzker's words this weekend, really hyping people up to be very obstructionist against Donald Trump and, you know, push back in a pretty aggressive way. And my question, should I get to ask it, is going to be along the lines of, are people in states like Illinois less safe with governors like J.B. Pritzker who refuse to cooperate with the Trump administration?
Yeah, maybe a good question would be, if J.B. Pritzker does the equivalent of what that judge did in Wisconsin, can we look forward to him being frog marched out of the governor's office?
Can we see the video of that, too?
Yeah, you are not the first person to suggest that I ask that. I'm trying really hard not to make this too personal about what I want to see, but you and I have like minds on that issue.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So before the end of the day, here's what I'm expecting, because everybody tries to do this when they go to the press briefing room. Try to get up there by the podium and have somebody take a picture of you at the podium.
Yeah, Mark, I am a lay low type of person, and this is not the business and the place to be lay low. When it comes to jockeying and trying to get into your position. So I'm trying to have a healthy balance here.
Have you seen any big names kind of walking around ahead of this press briefing?
By big names, do you mean press names? Or
yeah.
That could be anyone, yeah.
Well, while I was doing this interview, Peter Ducey just walked past me, and Jared Halperin's doing a bunch of radio interviews sitting in the press room right now. So some names that you might have that are familiar to who we have on our Fox News radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I probably know the voices more than the names, but if I hear these people ask questions, I might go, oh, okay. Face with the name. There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, we'll be listening here when it cuts in for your voice in the background.
Well, I'll be standing up on the left side of the room to Carolyn Leavitt's right, probably trying not to be rude to other people in my Midwestern way. I'm going to have to work on that. But I'm looking forward to the opportunity here.
Should be exciting. Looking forward to it, Annie. Have fun up there.
Thanks, Mark. See you, Kim.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Annie Frye there live from the Brady press briefing room at the White House, where she's going to get to sit in on this 7:30 each central time press briefing with Tom Homan in a few minutes.
That's cool. Already been. By the way, Peter Ducey, I feel like, was he the one who just had another baby?
I don't know. I know they've got one. I don't know if he's got two or not.
I'm pretty sure. Let's see. Now I have to Google this.
I should have had her, take Ducey aside and say, listen, the next time Mark Cox puts in a request to get you live on his show, say yes. Because I get Griff Jenkins all the time. I get Chad Pergram all the time. Get all these other people for Fox. Not Peter Ducey, for some reason.
They just had a baby, number two, by the way.
The dude
so he's already back to work.
The dude will not come on and do morning radio. I don't know why that is. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk to Ashley Smith Thomas, get her take on the judge down in New Mexico that got arrested for harboring an illegal.